Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I'm very grateful you could be with me on this 21st day of November 2021. We're going to be looking at what is the answer, or how do we find answer. I love the emails I get from people who listen to the program, and they think that either I have given them the answer or maybe even provoked the answer in them. I don't know. But the truth of the matter is, the real truth, no one has answers. And when we look at our life and think in terms of answers, looking for a solution, let's say to a problem or a dilemma that we might have, or we're looking at a situation where we think in terms of there is the quote unquote right answer and thing to do that will benefit themselves or others, maybe. We try to get into the intellectual aspect of our life, and in doing so, we miss. When you look at the great masters, if you ever do, Buddha, Jesus, Lhasa, they are not magicians. These are not people giving us answers. These are individuals who, shall I say, are the insight. They are the sense of the equation of the totality of the universe. That equation is what we don't comprehend very well, because our minds are always thinking in terms of right and wrong, good and bad. We have minds that are very narrow, parochial by nature. So when you listen to a Buddha, or you listen to Jesus teaching the Christ consciousness, you start to realize, if you go very deep with it, that they're not answering your questions or my questions. They're fulfilling something else. They are commenting. It's a commentary on the way the universe works, the way of life, true life, and how it pertains to love. Meditation is love. The reason most people cannot meditate and they can't find, quote-unquote, their answers is because they don't have the heart for it. They don't care to love beyond their passions, emotions, their body functions. So along with all of the other problems that we have, we miss what is the obvious. And to me, what Buddha, Lhasa, Jesus, and all great masters teach is the simplicity of the obvious. So hopefully I'll be able to help a little bit here. I have a couple of wonderful questions that were given to me, and I want to thank those of you who take the time to write me, greg@aspire.org. That's Greg at Aspire, aspire.org. And always feel free to ask any question. And please understand, I look at them with a great sense of sacredness. When you do offer a question, it's important to me. Your questions mean something. Okay, so the first question comes from Larry, and he is, let's see, Kansas. He lives in Kansas. Larry, I got to tell you, one day, when I was very, very young, I was 20 years old, I was driving through Kansas to get to Unity Village, and I had never seen anything as flat in my life as Kansas was. I found it particularly fascinating. Very fascinating. Anyway, it was a real experience, Kansas. And it was in Lawrence, Kansas, that I found my first Zen master. So, little history there. What is the answer, he asked, to humankind and all of its problems? And then he goes into a litany of his logical answers that he has come up with about all of those things. And I appreciate that. I want to thank him for that. Some of them look very intelligent. In fact, all of them do, actually. But the trouble is with answers, they don't apply to everyone. And this is something we just don't seem to have the patience nor the understanding. The answer I have found over the years of my career, the answer for one person will not be the same answer for another. A person will come up with a question and ask a question, whatever it may be. Let's say question A, and another person will ask question A with a little sidebar of something else, totally twanging the question in the first place. You got to take in the mental acuity of a person when you're answering their questions. So you look at it and you think, okay, well, this person asked this question. This one sounds the same, but they're really not, because they put a little, something in there that was different from the original question. And now it starts to get, if you wanted to allow it, get complicated. So the answer that I might give you might not be the answer I would give to someone else or someone else. Or anyone else. I may not want to punctuate my answer the same way with someone else. So I'm going to give you a broad, just very broad, general answer to questions. What is the answer to humankind's question, you ask? Silence is always the answer. Yes, just basic silence. And when I am quiet, and when I can live quiet inside and just listen without my narrow-minded Greg in there, my parochial mind thinking in terms of looking at it from logic and reasoning and thinking that only through logic and reasoning do I get the answer. Do I find the meaning or the significance of any given insight that I might be looking for? I used to, when I was younger, Larry, I used to look for answers. I would create my own problems, and then I would look for answers to them. And I would realize, as years went by and I started to truly work on myself and realize what a putz I was, or can be, I realized I am the problem. The answer is not in other people. The answer is not in whatever it is I may think of as right or wrong, good or bad. The answer is, why do I have the question in the first place? Why is there a question here? Once I understood the gravitas of that and really, really understood that my questions are ridiculous and futile because they don't really have answers. The answers that I may have to questions I may find myself, let's say, occupied by are going to pass. And the more that I awaken, the less my questions are of any relevance or importance to me at all. So if I answer this question with you right now, as I just did, my answer may be different in 15 minutes. It might be different in an hour. It might be different in a year or two. I don't know. It just all depends on the awareness and whether or not my awareness has increased or grown to any point where I could maybe see into the question and why the question really isn't a question and why it's not really a problem and why the answer to those questions are really not answers. I would be able to see into everything for the way it is. Don't be looking for answers. If you're going to look for answers to your questions, you really have to question your own question. Why would you have that kind of question? What is the meaning of life? Why should I meditate? Is humankind going to destroy itself? Da, 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 da. What is the answer to world hunger? Things like that. There are questions that have relative answers that can be deployed through the means of just getting organized in the world and caring about people. But the real question is, why do I have questions? As the old commercial, why ask why? That's a very, very powerful insight. It wastes my time. And the answers often annoy the old Gregory, the pig in him that looks around for logical answers to his own means. I mean, left to ourselves, what answers can there be based on the kind of people we are? We're greedy, selfish, basically unkind, and deeply, deeply self-absorbed. So, you know, the real answer isn't an answer. It's a way of life. You have to live into the answer. And I like what Rainier Rilke said. You have to live into the answer one day. Because every problem we have is a chance to increase our awareness from the heart, of the heart, and our devotion to the heart, not the human heart, the authentic heart. And that is another question altogether I won't get into. Larry, thank you for your beautiful question and that lovely email, and please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Tony, and she says she lives in California, and she gives me kind of a rundown on her life a little bit, and then she asks, how should I seek answers to questions I may not understand? Well, Tony, we're all in that bracket, aren't we? I mean, I'm in that bracket. Everybody is. Of course, I don't have the questions anymore like I used to when I was younger. I don't think in terms of that. And if you practice meditation, if you practice conscious living, if you can practice letting go of your narrow-mindedness, if you can, and if you're willing to do that, you will find your questions evaporate. They don't matter anymore. They don't have any substance or any real meaning to you. So you won't have the questions occupying your mind all the time. You'll start looking at your life from the point of view of this is a great big life. And it isn't about the question of life. It is about entering into life. And I have to maybe ask myself, why won't I do it? Or what am I afraid of? Or why am I infatuated with hate and fear? Things like that. If we look into that, if we honestly look into that, then we have not answers, but insights. What is an insight and an answer? An answer appears to be a solution to a problem, a dilemma, let's say. But an insight is the ability to see beyond the problem, to see beyond the solution, the dilemma, to the reality of why something exists as it does. How do I exist the way I am? How does a problem in my life exist the way I am? How do I exist in making my problems so I have them? People, I know you probably don't think in terms of this, but it's true. People like to have their problems. And without them, they kind of lose their identity. And honestly, I know that sounds insane, but I've been doing this a long time, working with people, and I can tell you, it is the factual truth of it all. I got to get out of here. Thank you, Tony, for your beautiful question. And please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. We'll be back on the air next week. And I hope you will join us. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for listening. And please forgive me. Namaste.